I am very grateful to all of the sincere devotees who presented such heartfelt and deeply philosophically sound offerings at the lotus feet of our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. It is said that the touchstone can transform iron into gold. But the Vaishnav, who is empowered by the causeless mercy of Lord Krishna, not only can make iron into gold, but can make iron into another touchstone that can make more iron into gold. Not only that, but they can make other touchstones. Srila Prabhupada was so inconceivably empowered by Krishna due to his incredible, fathomless desire to give Krishna consciousness to the suffering souls in this world and fulfill the desire of his spiritual master. Historically, we will not find, except through the great acharyas of parampara, such miraculous feats that were performed by one man. Srila Prabhupada came to the United States to begin this great preaching movement alone. He had no followers. He had no support from his mission or his god brothers. He had no money. He had nothing. In a city like New York, at that time there was over 8 million people in the city. He was just one unknown, penniless person living in the most treacherous ghetto of the city. But he had a desire that something wonderful happen in New York City. And in his very lifetime, in 1976, from nothing but his burning desire to be merciful to the fallen souls, in the very center of Manhattan, the most prestigious part of New York City, Srila Prabhupada had a beautiful skyscraper building that was a temple for Sri Sri Radha Govinda Dev. And there were hundreds and hundreds of devotees living in that temple. And in 1976, the main street of New York, Fifth Avenue, the main street for Maya in the entire planet Earth. New York is the heart of material civilization, and Fifth Avenue is the main artery of that heart. The whole city was closed. I'm sorry, the whole street was closed off for the procession of Jagannath, Balaram, and Subhadra. And Srila Prabhupada was sitting majestically on Subhadra's cart, looking down at all the citizens of New York. And there were tens and thousands of people hearing the holy name, seeing the darshan of Jagannath. There were tens and thousands of people taking books, taking prasad. And the parade went through the heart of Manhattan in Fifth Avenue. The whole city, no one could even enter the street unless they wanted to participate in Ratha Yatra. And the Ratha Yatra ended in the most famous park in New York City, Washington Square Park, in which the city gave over completely on that day to the Hare Krishna movement. And there Srila Prabhupada delivered his lecture. He conquered New York City. Srila Prabhupada ki. Srila Prabhupada went to San Francisco. He sent one devotee to San Francisco from 22nd Avenue. While he was there, Malati Devi gave him a little tiny doll of Lord Jagannath, about at the most 3 inches tall. It was in a barrel of hundreds of these little dolls of Jagannath. Srila Prabhupada took that little tiny toy of Jagannath, and from that he told Shyam Sundar, carve this into a deity this high. From that little doll, Srila Prabhupada decided there should be Jagannath worshipped all over the world and there should be Rathayatras. In his life he saw Jagannath deities worshipped by millions of people all over the world. There were beautiful Rathayatra parades through downtown New York, downtown London, downtown Los Angeles, San Francisco, Chicago, Philadelphia, Sydney, Paris, Bombay, Rathayatras all over the world within his life, just from the desire that awakened from his meeting this one little form of Jagannath. Srila Prabhupada sent three couples, married couples, who were hardly even devotees for 1 year to London, told them to start a center. They couldn't start a center, but somehow or other they got a place where Prabhupada could stay. It took them months and months just to find that. Srila Prabhupada came to London. It was his desire that Krishna be given to the people of London. Within a couple years, he went with nothing. His devotees had nothing. And within those couple of years, a huge, beautiful mansion and an estate, Bhaktivedanta Manor, was established, where tens and thousands of people were coming to hear Srila Prabhupada preach. Plus, there was a beautiful center right in the heart of downtown in London. Srila Prabhupada was invited to New Vrindavan. When he first came, you had to walk about 5 kilometers, not even a road, through knee-deep mud to a little plot of land where there was a tiny little house that was broken down. It was wooden with more holes in the walls than walls. He lived there. He sat under a little tree every day and gave instructions how New Vrindavan should be a holy place for the whole of America. Within his very lifetime, New Vrindavan became over 4,000 acres of land, beautiful temple, hundreds and hundreds of devotees surrendering their lives, and thousands of pilgrims coming. Srila Prabhupada came back to India with some of his disciples. He desired some land in Mayapur. Devotees had no money. Devotees had no understanding of how to deal with people of India or with the laws of India. Srila Prabhupada located one plot of land. He said, get this land. There were so many troubles. And they got the land. And all they could afford was a little straw hut. Prabhupada lived in that little straw hut. Sometimes cobras, sometimes inimical people. But he lived in that little hut, and he had a vision. He desired that there be an international center where Bhaktivinoda Thakur's desires would be fulfilled, and people from every part of the world would come and chant the holy names. Within Srila Prabhupada's own life, there was beautiful temple of Radha Madhav, beautiful guest house, the longest building in all of Bengal. Thousands of devotees were coming from every continent in the world, chanting Jai Sachinandana, Jai Sachinandana, and fulfilled the prediction of Nityananda Prabhu and Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And tens and thousands, hundreds and thousands, millions of pilgrims are coming there to this day. In 1971, when I was living in Vrindavan, there was not a single Hare Krishna devotee in Vrindavan from ISKCON. There was no center. There was nothing. In December of 71, Srila Prabhupada came, and one nice friend of his that he met in Delhi, Mr. Sharaf, he said, you can use my house in Vrindavan for you and your followers. He was just there, just living in another person's place. But he told his devotees, I want to start a center here. I want to invite my disciples and people from all over the world to come to Vrindavan and become purified by the atmosphere here. within just a matter of a few years, there was a beautiful international center in Vrindavan. It became the most popular temple in all of Vrindavan, of all the 5,000 temples. And hundreds, thousands of devotees from all over the world were coming to Vrindavan to glorify Srila Prabhupada's compassion to all fallen souls. Today, anywhere you go in the world, people know what is Vrindavan. Who made Vrindavan famous outside of India? It was single-handedly the offering supreme love of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. When Prabhupada came to Bombay, he was living in various borrowed places. Srinathji Prabhu, he remembers for some time he was living in one little flat of our dear friend, Kartikeya Mahadevya. He had nowhere else to go. And there was one swampy jungle in Juhu. Srila Prabhupada told devotees, I want to build an international center here. Everyone thought, this is crazy. Why in this place? And when Srila Prabhupada first moved to Juhu, he just had a little thatched hut with some tin on it. And it was infested with rats, and the deities were living in a little shed. But Prabhupada's burning desire to spread Krishna consciousness, his great oceanic compassion, within his very life, he saw the beautiful marble temple of Sri Sri Radha Ras Bihari. Srila Prabhupada, at one time, he was just flying, I believe, from Australia back to the mainland of Asia, and his flight stopped in Fiji, and he was not even allowed to get out. He was just in the transit lounge, and he met one man, and he preached to this man for just a few minutes, and he said, it is my desire that there be a ISKCON temple in Fiji. Within a matter of months, there was a beautiful ISKCON temple in Fiji. Srila Prabhupada began Back to Godhead magazine, where he was writing all the articles, he was editing the articles, he was buying the paper, he was seeing to the printing, he had to do all the funding. After it was printed, he was the only distributor of it. He would just go out into the streets of Delhi or wherever he was and just try to convince people on the roadsides or in the tea stalls, please take this magazine. It was his desire that this Back to Godhead be an international magazine that would be distributed all over the world. Who would have imagined in the humble beginning? But in Srila Prabhupada's own life, there were millions and millions and millions of Back to Godheads being given out everywhere in every continent of the earth. Srila Prabhupada began writing Srimad Bhagavatam in Radha Damodar Temple. He was sitting with a little lantern. He didn't even have a dictaphone. Everything was done by himself, just writing by hand. It took him several years to complete the first three volumes. And somehow or other, he raised enough funds to just get that done. He desired that Srimad Bhagavatam, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings be distributed in book forms all over the world. Within his very life, there was mass book distribution. Tens and millions of books were being distributed. Within Srila Prabhupada's own life, he saw that at times there were literally thousands and thousands and thousands of books being distributed every day. Shyam Sundar Prabhu told us Prabhupada went to Moscow. The KGB was watching him at every step. There was no facility to preach. He met one Professor Katowski, who was an atheist. He preached to one person. But he told Shyam Sundar, someday there will be thousands of people chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in this city of Moscow. Now, devotees tell me that sometimes, often, just for an evening Bhagavad Gita class, there are thousands of devotees and people that come to hear. And they just had a festival where there were, I believe, 3,000 devotees just from the local area who came to celebrate the glories of Srila Prabhupada's mercy. Srila Prabhupada gave a lecture at the Bharatiya Vidya Bhavan, I believe it was 1972. And as he was coming out, he told Shyam Sundar, there should be a temple here. And today we have Radha Gopinath Temple. Simply by Srila Prabhupada's glance in this direction, all of us have become Krishna consciousness. All of us are assembled to perfect our lives by taking shelter of his lotus feet. If we really meditate on Srila Prabhupada's preaching mission and his life of devotion, it is beyond comprehension. It is unprecedented in history. What one single man with no facilities except his own love for the conditioned souls and faith in his guru and Krishna can do. He challenged the entire planet Earth. He challenged all the forces of Maya herself. And nothing could stop him. He was victorious. It is to this most worshipable personality that we are offering our homage to on this auspicious day of his Vyas Puja. His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, stood out amongst everyone on earth. There may be other pure devotees. There may be other paramhamsas. But in this modern age, his desire, his willingness to sacrifice, to fulfill Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction that Krishna consciousness be in every town and village. He possessed that quality. And it is the basis on his mercy exclusively that we have all been saved from wasting this human form of existence in senseless enjoyment. And we have come to the highest platform of devotional service. Srila Prabhupada told his disciples, you are all liberated, but you have not realized it. Srila Prabhupada has already given us entrance into Goloka Vrindavan. He's already made reservations for each and every one of us of where we're going to serve in Radha and Krishna's eternal rasa of loving pastimes. We simply have to have faith and never give up his instructions. We simply have to hold on to his lotus feet by being the servant of the servant of his servants and please him. And just as Srila Prabhupada transformed all these empires of Maya into beautiful places of preaching, he can similarly transform each and every one of our hearts, however wicked and sinful they may be, into a glorious temple of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. Srila Prabhupada so dearly loved this city of Bombay. He spent more time here than anywhere else in the world after he began the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. He preached to more people here personally than anywhere else on this planet because he understood how this city could influence the world. And it was people like you that he was making such great sacrifice to reach and to convince of the importance of devotional service. Somehow or other, we are all gathered together in the heart of Bombay, the very place Prabhupada glanced upon and prophesied would be a temple. And we have a mission to Srila Prabhupada, not only to each other, not only to this city, but to the whole world. What this world desperately needs more than anything else is a model example of a Krishna-conscious society, where devotees are willing to live together peacefully with love and trust, strictly following the principles of sadhana bhakti, by chanting 16 rounds every day, by following the regulative principles, by deeply understanding our philosophy, by having wonderful loving relationships in the mood of the servant of the servant, and having a spirit to preach, to give Krishna consciousness to others. If we could do that, that is the ultimate offering we could make to Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. But in order to do it, we have to make a sacrifice. Because in this age of Kali Yuga, quarrel and hypocrisy is everyone's material nature. It is our conditioning to be spiritually lazy and to have so many reasons to disagree with others. If we can only perform this sacrifice of remain united, loving God brothers, God sisters together, remain pure in our sadhana, in our spiritual principles, we could be an example that could be performed the greatest service to Srila Prabhupada for the entire world. We should never be proud. We are never better than anyone else. But we are fortunate. We have such wonderful association. We have such a wonderful opportunity. In a spirit of humility and determination, let us make this offering to Srila Prabhupada. Every time we are criticizing another Vaishnav, every time we are lazy in our sadhana, every time we are having quarrels with each other, we are cheating Srila Prabhupada of what he is longing us to achieve, what he wants to do through us because of our petty, foolish desires. It's not very difficult to get over these things. We simply have to make Srila Prabhupada's teachings the guiding principle of our life and put everything else aside. His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada descended into this world to perform a mission which was the fulfillment of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's great desire. And we are all so intimately participating in this great mission. Let us never let go. Let us perform this sacrifice. Let us learn to love each other, care for each other, and most of all, tolerate each other. Because that is something that's very difficult in this age of Kali. And let us put the primary principle of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as our ultimate goal of life. Trinadapi sunichena, tarorapi sahishnana, amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. To be more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, ready to offer all respect to others and expect none in return. Where will there be quarrel? Where will there be fighting? Where will there be enviousness or disunity if we are offering all respect to others and expecting none in return? Whether you are husband and wife, you should be united according to this principle. Whether you are God sister and God sister, God brother and God brother, God brother and God sister, or amongst all the other God brothers and God sisters of other great souls within our society. Srila Prabhupada has created a worldwide family, and he has commissioned this special little section of his family for a very great service. it is my life and soul to pray to all of you to please take this mission very seriously. Srila Prabhupada is the ultimate guru for everyone within the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. He is the ultimate guru for all of you who are sincerely coming to Krishna consciousness. He is the Shiksha Guru for everyone. And we are united under his grace in the shade of his lotus feet. Srila Prabhupada's mercy is directly descending into the hearts of each and every one of you. As your humble servant, it is my most wonderful opportunity to assist Srila Prabhupada by helping you to open your hearts properly so you can receive that mercy and be eternally blessed with his divine grace. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.